They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we have our friend Anna Negretti on today, and we want to talk and just catch up on what's happening at the MMIR office and what's just happening in that realm of things. And it's great to have you on and check in and see what's happening. Anna, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. It's always good to see you and just kind of check in. We are keeping busy at the MMIR office. We just wrapped up our February 14th event. It was beautiful. Estimated numbers about 1,500 folks that came out and remember their relatives in our community that have been missing or murdered. We have May 5th coming up as kind of our next event that we're starting to think about and plan. One of the things that we want to continue to do is really remember those that May 5th is National MMIR Day. And so on a larger scale, we really want to acknowledge the nationwide epidemic that we're seeing here in Minnesota and just how it impacts folks across the nation. Our thought this time for May 5th is, again, really recentering the voices of community and family. We weren't able to do a reading of the names on February 14th, and that sometimes hurts my heart a little bit. And so we want to do that on May 5th and have that be one of the things that we really do. You know, we know that there's power in saying their names and recognizing their absence. And so that's one of the things that we hope to be doing at the state capitol this year on May 5th. So getting ready to get geared up for that next project.
That's awesome. And, you know, I'll be there, and this time I won't be there with a crutch, so I'll be able to march and get around. You know, we have a lot of new listeners people coming in and out and listening to Native Roots Radio. Could you explain to our community, and it's our worldwide community, basically about the office and how it came about? Because it's beautiful, and Minnesota, if not, isn't the only one. It's one of the only ones with an office like this in Turtle Island. So I'd love to hear this and celebrate what we're doing here. But it's also such a serious issue that we deal with, and we deal with all over Turtle Island.
Yeah, for sure. We have just turned 4 years old. February 28th. Wow. Was 4 years when Director Juliette Rudy came into the office. And so we're 4 years old and still doing a lot of learning. But we have an office of five right now. We have our director, Guadalupe Lopez, who has joined our team back in late July. So we have some new leadership. We really work to address the disparity and just what's going on in our state. We make up 1.4% of the population, but we make up 8% of the homicide rates as Indigenous people. Last year, I think it was 734 Indigenous people were reported missing in Minnesota alone. We are the first state in the nation to have an office. There's several states now that have folks doing the work on different levels. Colorado also has a state office. I was just met with our national team today. We have folks from Alaska, Washington, New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado. So all over the country who are coming together to, you know, really unify what we're doing and how we're talking and, what's working well in their communities and how we can bring that back to the state of Minnesota to do better by our relatives. I'm excited for September 28th. I think we're doing a save the date now for the national conference. We'll be here in Minnesota for the first time. So we're excited to have those community subject matter experts come in here to share their work with us too and continue to learn. So doing a lot here.
Yeah, definitely. And the history is that, you know, there was some lawmakers that thought this was a good idea to really have an office that works specifically on that, because the numbers are staggering. We're less than 2% of the population, but we have over 9.4%. Last time I think I looked, you can correct me, of missing relatives out there. And it's just basically an epidemic in our community that needs to have an office like you're in.
Yeah, absolutely. Senator Kunesh, I'm so amazed and so thankful when I see her out in community and I'm introducing her to people. I'm like, this is why. And even as other nations are, other states and jurisdictions are asking, how did you all get an office? I would say, you know, you need your champion. And for us, that was Senator Kunesh. So I'm super thankful that she saw the issue and didn't just see and observe it, but she took action to make sure that we had a task force and make sure that from the task force that there was mandates. And the first of that was the creation of our office. I was so thankful for the people that put in the work before we even came to be and even continue to do that, because this is not something that we do alone. Our role is to, you know, kind of coordinate the support, but we still need our grassroots folks. We still need folks on every level, you know, to take note. It was it was heartbreaking to see the occupation of ICE here in the metro over the last few months. Beautiful to see people coming out with care and concern, and we don't want that to leave. We still hope that the way that you all have seen, or we have seen on the national scale, that violence happening in our communities, that's still happening. It might be a different actor, but that violence still continues, and we still need people that observe and that take note and that are there to protect and raise alarm when there needs to be. So we're hoping that that momentum keeps going.
Yeah, and it is a momentum, and I believe it is going, and we just need to talk about it, constantly talk about it. And so that's why I'm so grateful that you and the director and past directors, and you were an interim director too, come on Native Roots Radio and speak about this, because it's not going away. And I know we get things amplified in the mainstream media, and it's about one person, and we go week and week and weeks, but the brown and black and brown and BIPOC relatives do not get this kind of following from our relatives that are missing.
Yeah, it's hard to respond sometimes. And, you know, I even posted on from my own personal perspective to not feel, I don't know if jealousy is the right word, but to some acknowledgement too, that like, you know, our families don't get 3 weeks of press conferences and pleas and a full, you know, like some of the things that we've seen unfold in the last couple months about some, you know, folks with position and power. Our families didn't get that. Our families feel forgotten, and that's hard. And so I try not to feel that way, but the disparity is there, and it's hard not to acknowledge that. It's hard not to see and say that. That hurts. That's painful. I wish our communities had that.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And so, but we do amplify that here, and we're going to keep on amplifying it across Turtle Island and to our listeners. And again, I appreciate you guys coming on and really talking about this. And, you know, in the next segment, I'd really like to talk about, you know, what people can do, how they can support it. I know I have a license plate, and that's one way, but also there is ways to support and find out what's going on, because I know your boots on the ground and you do a lot of work in the community, and that means a lot of different things, and we need help, and we also need guidance and how to help your office and our relatives. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're with Anna Negrete, a community planner with Minnesota Missing and Indigenous Relatives, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
Elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come. We are the land. This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492. To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today. To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way. To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people. To those who left their communities by force or by choice and for generations no longer know who they are. To those who search and never find. To those that turn away the so-called non-accepted. To those that bring us together. And to those living outside, keeping touch, the voice for many. To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people. To those that give up and those who do not care. To those who abuse themselves and others. And those who revive again. To those who are physically, mentally, or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth. To those who seek strength in our spirituality and ways of life, and those who exploit it, even our own. To those who fall for the lies and join the dividing lines that keep us fighting amongst each other. To the outsiders who step in, good or bad, and those of us who don't know better. To the leaders and prisoners of war, politics, crime, race, and religion, innocent or guilty. To the young, the old, the living, and the dead, to our brothers and sisters and all living things across Mother Earth, and her beauty we've destroyed and denied the honor that the Creator.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and this is Native Roots Radio. Hey, we are with our friend Anna Negrete, community planner of the office, the MMIR office here in Minnesota. And let's keep our discussion going here. A lot of the work you do is boots on the ground, too. And let's talk a little bit about that. And I also want to get into how people can find out more information about you and the organization and how they can help.
Yeah, for sure. You know, to be honest, we continue to learn, Robert. We're 4 years old, and we are seeing all kinds of different challenges that are coming through with different type of cases. Initially, when I, you know, first started, we saw a lot of folks who were getting cases that were in our suburban communities and up north. And so those searches look different than what an urban search, like when a relative goes missing down here in the cities, it looks different. And so we're seeing an uptick in folks that are missing and in our urban communities and learning how to respond to that. So, you know, part of what people can do to help is to make reports. I know firsthand, even from having family that have been in active addiction or struggling with being unsheltered, how hard it can be to make those phone calls. But the truth is we can cancel those police reports, and we're not happy to make those flyers, but I would much rather make a flyer and then go through the steps of making sure that those are taken down when they're located. Then it'd be, you know, several months or years later when the contact has been gone that long without hearing from our relatives. So just, you know, making sure that if somebody's missing in your life and they're, you know, not in contact in a way that they normally are, making those reports. And if you need help, you know, please reach out to our office and help. Law enforcement must take the police report per Brandon's Law, state law here in Minnesota. There's no waiting period to report somebody missing, so you can report right away. And if you get pushback, please feel free to reach out to our office and call us, and we can support you in that process.
Yeah, that's awesome. One of the things, too, that I noticed in the last March on the 14th of February was that there are still new people coming up with missing relatives. I mean, these signs were, I want to say they were not very old, and I'm used to seeing, you know, different dates of people missing as long as 20 years ago at this march. But it really struck me that it's still happening big time. And I saw signs that were very, very recent.
Yeah, it's really heartbreaking. The oldest case I always mention is 40, I think 41 year, 1981. So it's more than 40 years old now. And then we have those new cases that are coming in all the time, as you know, as recently as last year, we had, you know, a big event in the metro where a lot of Indigenous lives were lost. And so we have, you know, we have those families as well. And it, without fail, every time we're in community where I'm sitting down and tabling and interacting with community, I meet somebody else who has an impacted family member, who it's brother or their sister or their daughter or whoever, every time, Robert. So when we talk about, you know, what we're going to be doing for May 5th, and I look at that list, and for those of you who have seen or heard that list, it's so emotional to get through, because you learn those stories and you see how long that list is, and that it continues to grow. It is heartbreaking. And
And I don't know if it's always been that way, but it really, really struck me this last time. It was like, wow, it's like, So people that are listening, you know, I always like a call to action in a lot of ways is what can people do that are listening to us? How can they support this office? Maybe reach out to their legislators too and say, it's such a great idea, please put more money into it, or in What do we have for kind of a call to action that you see?
Of course, you can. We'd love for you to reach out and say, hey, you know, to your legislators and say, hey, let's continue to fund this. We have five staff, but we have one person that works primarily with impacted families, we want to do better to support them. We want to be able to be more responsive. The license plates is a great, easy way to support that. The license plate is still the third most popular plate being sold in Minnesota. It's generated almost $250,000 in revenue since it opened. And easy steps too, when you see posts, even if you've seen the post 10, 20 times, share it again, because one time can make a difference. And so if you're seeing those social media posts about our missing or murdered, please continue to just share. You don't have to write a narrative, just please share, because you never know what one little bit of information can do to help change the outcome. And that's what we're hoping and praying for.
You know, there's a couple questions I want to ask before we end our discussion. And one of them is what do you do, and what does the office workers do and the volunteers do for your own, I want to say, you know, to feel better for your own sanity? We talked a little bit about, you know, going into ceremonies and things like that. What does the office do, and what do you do?
That's a great question. Last time I think we joked that you're expecting my answer to be I drink water, and of course I do. I have my big mug of water that I'm drinking, but you know, I also reach out. I also attend ceremony. I'm also have sage in my hands, in my pockets now, just because I know that there's privilege in the work that I do. And there's this red handprint that we see symbolizes MMIR. And I have the privilege to speak, or I'm in positions where I do speak. And so I always need to stay grounded though to the families and who I remember that who doesn't get an opportunity to speak. And so just using medicines too is a good way that gets me through daily work, smudging off when I'm feeling stressed, and that comes in waves throughout the day. So somebody even gave me some liquid smudge, and you just kind of spray it when you can't burn sage or cedar in the building. I got some liquid smudge too. So just having that on hand, I mean, it's makes a difference and makes sure that I can get through the whole day and get up again tomorrow and do it again.
Well, I hope you got that spray from Native Roots Trading Post at State Fair and online at nativeroots-tradingpost.com. One of the things I'd like to touch base on, and we never really talk about this, but we have, you know, I do notice people putting relatives and that are missing and that they're found. So there is that part of the job too, and part of the story that people do get found because of community and because of your work. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I know right now, like the big push that we're trying to do, especially in our urban communities, I was emailing this morning with different folks that are serving our population, is doing a distribution list because there's so many more eyes out in the community than when if we do a, you know, walk through the neighborhood and throw up a couple flyers. There's people in places where folks are going, and so we are finding some success in connecting with outreach. Where are our relatives going to shower, to seek support, to get a drink of water, to warm up? So we're connecting with those organizations to get their flyers up, and then also to say, hey, this relative is located, please. Take that down. We stress to people that we are sending out these emails. You don't have to tell us what services they're receiving. Encourage them to call their family if it's a situation that's unsafe. But we just want to broaden our reach, and we're leaning on community partners to be on the lookout too. So it's not just a few family members and our office team that are out there looking. That the community is knowing that we're missing somebody. We're thinking about somebody. We're worried about them. And so thankfully we've been able to resolve some cases more quickly that way.
Do we have a Facebook or a website with missing relatives that people could peruse and see the pictures and the names?
We don't have a Facebook, but we do. If you go on MMIR or DPS, Google MMIR Minnesota, and you'll see you can download and print the long-term missing that has about 18 different names of our long-term missing, but also individual reward flyers. We have 22 or 23 different cases that are eligible for up to $10,000 rewards for some of our cases as well. That number, unfortunately, continues to grow. And so those are continue to be revised, but they're all downloadable and printable there on the website. Next time I'll make sure to have that link handy and to give you the address, but always please reach out to our offices. If there's anything that we can do to support, make sure you guys are calling 911 when you are seeing or worried about your relative and they are missing, the sooner the better. We can cancel the report. We can't get that time back. So always want to reiterate that.
That's perfect, and especially in these times. And, you know, we also still have 650, last count from Christy Noem, 650 ICE agents here. And I still don't know what happened to those two Dakota relatives. I don't know if we've ever heard what happened to them.
No, we haven't. And we even called the BCA to say, like, is there some way, you know, like if somebody gets detained in some other jail or detention center, there's usually a jail roster. ICE doesn't have that or that accountability. So it is scary. And people are wondering if the occupation is over. It's not quite.
No, it's not. Thank you so much for stopping in and giving us an update and speaking to you. Really, really means a lot to me and to our listeners. You know, we're still here, but we're still having our relatives missing. And so this is an ongoing situation that we need to remain to amplify. So again, a big pini gigi, Anna. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Barbara, for inviting me. See you next time.
Sounds good. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Up next, Ruth Anna Buffalo. We'll be right back.
Support for KFAI comes from the Parkway Theater and Lounge presenting SOMI, Thursday, March 12th. Composer, actor, playwright, and jazz vocalist SOMI brings her cross-cultural voice to the Parkway stage. Touring with her latest release, Zenzile, the reimagination of Miriam Makeba, SOMI weaves Afro-pop, soul, and jazz into a tribute to the South African singer. It's a sonic travelogue that weaves deeply personal storytelling with modern jazz and African sensibilities. More information about SOMI at the Parkway Theater is available at theparkwaytheater.com.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and this is Native Roots Radio. Hey, we have our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo, CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And it's always good to check in and see what's going on. It's like you're right at the heartbeat and boots on the ground, ground zero of what's happening here with our relatives in the Twin Cities and Minneapolis especially. Ruth, thank you so much for coming on and speaking your truth, and thank you for what you do in our community.
Yeah, Dosha, hello, and Madzigadads, thanks for having MIWRC on the show.
Right on. Hey, let's talk a little bit about what's happening this week and what kind of things are happening. I know you guys, again, at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center in Minneapolis, our boots on the ground and serving our community. Let's talk a little bit of what's happening this week and what's happening. And I can't wait to hear more information about the possibility of a cakewalk.
Yeah, we just posted today our spring art market that's going to take place next month. And so we're looking forward to blooms, beads, and beautiful finds. Calling all vendors, please contact Leah La Chapelle, 612-806-4704. So this will be April 17th, 2026, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the gym or in the community room. So we're looking forward to, you know, just coming together as community and supporting one another, and maybe we will have a cakewalk for sure. I think everybody... Yeah. Probably support that.
Yeah, thank you. And you also got great t-shirts. You know, you do so much for the community now. There's things happening. And I know whenever I stop in, there's always things happening for the community. Let's talk a little bit about that. And I also want to talk about in our quick segment is how people can reach out and support your organization. Maybe we'll start right there.
Sure. Yeah, we are so thankful for the continued support. And if you are able to donate, you can go to our website, www.miwrc.org/donate. And we are, you know, just continuing to keep things moving. We are, you know, trying to keep a balance, a good balance with the services that we're providing, and really just trying to be good relatives to one another, help each other live longer, healthier lives. And so, yeah, we offer a lot of different, provide a lot of different services underneath the MIWRC umbrella. Really proud and happy to be a part of the team. We have a traditional healing practitioner. He holds monthly sweats. I believe it's going to be twice a month now. Just coming off of a Friday, this past Friday, he held a sweat on site. And then we also have the tenant units upstairs that are, I believe, right now pretty much they're on the brink of being fully occupied. So all 24 yeah. units are occupied. We have two that are in the hopper ready to be, you know, filled. And then we also continue to provide meals, breakfast meal program, Monday, Thursday, Fridays, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. We are looking to expand into evening hours. You know, the emergency warming center opened last winter, tracking the weather patterns, you know, so mm-hmm. some days it would be like 42 hours at a time, whether it was like a Sunday through a Tuesday or just kind of like a weekend schedule, but even in the middle of the week, if that makes sense. But mm-hmm. because the weather is warming up, but there's still a great need to help individuals, families, and the community connected to resources. So just continuing to partner with the community. So these past 2 weeks, we've done no overnight warming shelter, but we've mm-hmm. done warming center hours from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturday, Sunday. And Sundays, we've kind of gone into this pattern of holding bingo. And so it's been nice. We have community members that cook. And so if there's anyone who has, you know, specialty or they're talented in cooking, you know, please contact us. We welcome community members to come in and share their skills and expertise. The community room is always busy and buzzing. And we are, you know, open to the community, open to everybody. We're just really thankful for the ongoing community support for sure.
You know, one of the things, if you don't mind, let's talk a little bit about, you know, what happened with the housing upstairs and how important this change that your organization for a few years have been doing and talking about and transitioning and turning those units into smaller units for our community. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because when you mentioned that, it just was like, yes, this is so exciting. You're almost full and you're doing your thing.
Gee, I guess I'm trying to remember all the numbers from prior to, so today actually is my 2-year work anniversary at
MIWA. Wait a minute. Thank you. That's awesome. I remember the day you came and I was so excited to hear that you and your family were coming here. And it was great because of our relationship when you were working in government in the Dakotas and the times that you've been on Native Roots Radio. So it was great to have a relationship with you and to now really see you boots on the ground and working with this great organization.
Yeah, thank you. It's been good for sure. It's been really beautiful to work alongside the team and see the progress being made and even just the capacity building in different ways. We're seeing a lot of our young women move into leadership roles and also young men. We have a lot that goes on underneath the umbrella of MIWRC, like the tenant units. I believe there were 7 on each floor, but I might be getting my numbers mixed up. But I believe there was 14 total, and now we're at 24. So previously it was 2 to 3 bedroom units, but they were definitely in need of remodeling and upgrading. And so now we have 24 units, 12 on each floor. And there is not one unit the same on each floor, but each floor mirrors the other, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Wow. And that's exciting. And that's for our unsheltered relatives that are in transition and sometimes need a really helping hand.
Yes. Our focus with the 24 units, the eligibility, 20 of the 24 units must go through coordinated entry, must be referred to us through coordinated entry, which is the Hennepin County system. And so to get into the coordinated entry system, you have to qualify, but you have to go through like a housing assessment. And so those are done on site at MIWRC every Tuesday. Hennepin County Streets to Housing provides those. I believe folks too at AICDC provide it. If you have access to HMIS, which is the Homeless Management Information System. It's this huge database that different entities have access to, so you can help get people into housing referrals a lot quicker. And so we're looking at also getting some of our staff trained that already have access to HMIS, so that way they can be an assessor and do those assessments on site, you know, any day of the week. Just like MNsure navigation and just building on a lot of the tools that are out there and within the systems and trying our best to advocate for the relatives to live longer, healthier lives.
That's awesome. And again, it's a big deal. You've been in the community for 2 years and I know it's not been easy. What do you and your family do? I want to say for fun, but also, you know, replenishing your soul and staying healthy. I know it's a lot of work and a lot of people to deal with.
Well, I think it's just keeping that balance, you know, making sure we get enough rest and, you know, trying to be more present in each other's lives too, you know, like so kind of easy to get sucked into the job because there's so much to do. And sometimes it feels like there's not enough hours in the day, but like today, for example, I was able to leave early, like around 4 o'clock versus, you know, hours later. And so that was nice to kind of be here trying to get here, you know, when the kids, the twins, get off the school bus and stuff. So, but yeah, we enjoy basketball games, being outdoors and swimming, canoeing, you know. We enjoy like watching our dogs play and wrestle and things and enjoy laughing, but yeah, for sure, going for walks and things. But yeah, it's been good. It's yeah, I really enjoy the work, and have met a lot of people who have ties to North Dakota, even Hidatsa ties, you know, that are, really? You know, intertribally, you know, maybe with Red Lake and MHA, or, you know, so. And then once you learn who's related to who, you can see the resemblance, you know? And so it's been like, heartwarming to see different relatives, especially unsheltered, who, you know, their relatives from back home, you know?
Mm, yeah. Wow. We only got like a minute left here, but, do you still have your Chihuahua? Because we used to be Chihuahua people, Wendy and I. We had two Chihuahuas for over 16. Oh, showing the picture. Everyone on radio can see that. That's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah, he's posing. But yeah, he's my, we joke, like, he's my extra organ because he's like always connected to my hip, or, you know, like, especially from the pandemic. But yeah, he's probably sitting over on the couch, like, waiting till I'm finished to go sit by him or something.
Very cute. But what's his name?
Jordan.
Oh, that's so cute. Well, yeah, that's a good.
He's a little bit bald.
Oh, he's a little bit bald.
From Mandarin. Well, actually, from the. Yeah. Yep. He's from my mom's couple, like her, you know, her pair of Chihuahuas. The mom and dad. Jordan is from that. That lineage, but they, so he was born in Mandarin, where I'm from.
That's funny. We love the fact that you have a Chihuahua, and thank you so much for stopping in and talking about the great work that Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center does, and a happy anniversary. Really appreciate you coming on, and really appreciate you being in the community and working so hard.
Matsugarads, thank you. Good to see you.
Right on. We'll see you soon. This is Native Roots Radio. Up next, we got Wendy of our Sacred Animal section. We got Sacred Animal updates. We'll be right back after this short break.
Dr. Evan Adams, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Victor, you better be listening.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations throughout Turtle Island. Say no to the hunts.
Oh! Oh. Hey, welcome back. This is Native Roots Radio, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we have our sacred animal updates here with our friend and my wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she's co-founder of Native Roots Radio, which is in our 10th season here on AM 950 and all across Turtle Island. Yeah. And a big shout out to Civic Media that we're on their stations too, and we're out in Chicago and Michigan, and so a big shout out to everybody. Welcome, Wendy.
Yes. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani, and that means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that, and we do not have a live camera on me today for those wondering, because I was with the grandbabies all day today. So, yeah,
bless you.
I'm looking like I was with the grandbabies all day.
They're talking too.
Totally. But I, you know what? There's so much bad news going on, and there's a lot of bad news also in the animal world. And I don't want to talk about it today. I want to talk about good news. And just a few days ago, Canada, our North friends, yes, they are our friends. Thank you, yes. Canada. Jeez. Canada has passed a bill banning the captivity of great apes and elephants. Yes. Marking a significant milestone in animal rights protection. This move is part of a growing global trend to ensure that intelligent, emotionally complex creatures are no longer subjected to the harsh conditions of zoos or circuses. Go Canada. Canada's leadership in this area has set a global precedent. So I'm hoping that there's other people, I don't know about us with this current administration, but anyway, we'll see what happens. But by banning the captivity of these majestic animals, Canada is not only providing them with the protection they deserve, but also setting a standard for other nations to follow. The bill focuses on ensuring these animals can live out their lives in more natural, expansive environments where their physical and psychological needs can be met in ways that captivity never could. This bill also highlights the growing recognition that animals like great apes and elephants have rights that must be respected. The decision to stop their captivity speaks to a larger conversation about how humans interact with and care for the planet's most intelligent and sentient creatures. It's a victory for animal welfare and a step forward in ethical treatment. I think that this is like one of the best news that I've heard in weeks, really. So I'm really excited about it. And they are very intelligent animals. And, you know, I mean, I'm hoping soon that the captivity of like dolphins and whales and things in these, you know, aquariums will be done also.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I was reading, you sent me this. It's a little thing about horses. And I think I read a similar one, but this one has a lot of good information. It's one of those did you know things. And I really have to learn about more about horses, because I always say that, but I find them they're just so beautiful. I just never had the opportunity, since I'm like a city person, to be around horses, but I do really love them so much. Horses can sense tiny vibrations in the ground, even footsteps approaching from far away. And yeah, this is not on there. This is just like another little tidbit. but they're a fight or flight type of animal where they're always looking for a predator. Wow. So they're just careful and they startle really easy. That's why they're really not good for carriage horses or, even police horses. Those horses are really trained, for years and years not to be startled by gunshots and, you know, mass loud crowds and things like that. But anyway, I'm getting off the beaten path here.
That's good. It's good radio though.
Yeah. We're talking about, okay. Let my mind wander. ADHD, here we go. Did you know we're on horses, their breathing and heart rate can sync with their favorite human during calm moments? I love that. Some horses develop a unique focus face when concentrating, tightening their lips and softening their eyes. I've never heard of that, a focus face. A horse's coat can reveal mood shifts. Slight hair lifting can mean alertness or tension. It's kind of like a cat does that too, right? When their hair goes up and their back goes up and they swoosh. Have you ever seen that? A cat do that?
Definitely. Like, we've had cats
I
do
know.
That.
I think that's like the funniest thing when they do that. They hunch their back really high and then they, you know, stick their legs out and their tail gets really fluffy and they give you that face.
I think of Halloween when I see they have the cartoons with the...
They try to make them,
black cats being, woo, scary.
Yeah, they try to make themselves really big to scare people. Uh-huh. Yeah. Horses, they can recognize herd members by listening to their footsteps alone. That's amazing.
Yeah, that is
horses
amazing.
Use shared silence as together time. Standing quietly together strengthens trust. So they could just have like an uncomfortable silence and just like hang out with each other and just chill. I like that. They don't have to always be saying something, you know. Their muscles generate so much power that even a relaxed trot activates hundreds of muscle groups at once. And I really think that all of those were awesome to hear about. So, and talking about cats, I'm going to repeat this, but you sent this and I think it's so fun. Cats spend 70% of their lives sleeping.
Wow. I feel like, Wendy, wait a minute.
Maybe I'm a cat.
I think you are.
I think so. No, I don't spend. I just because I sleep late doesn't mean that I spend 70% of it sleeping. Right?
Right.
House cats, your regular everyday run-of-the-mill house cat, shares 95.6% of their DNA with tigers.
Wow.
Yeah, they're very closely knitted to their tigers. But the cats that we've always had, you know, some people I know have like feisty cats who like bite and swipe at you and like will scratch you and, you know, they'll be like hiding behind the door when you walk through and like bite your ankles and stuff. But we've always had like very chill cats and very affectionate, friendly cats. So we've always been really lucky about that.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. But I know a person who had a Siamese cat once who the cat would do all kinds of things like I just said, like stand behind the doorway and she would walk through into the hallway and the cat would like jump and she got scared like 10 times a day by that cat. Yeah. Ancient Egyptians worshipped cats.
Yes.
They did. Cats can rotate their ears 180 degrees.
So they can hear.
They could hear stuff. That's right.
Yeah.
Yep, I love that. Cats can drink seawater. Their kidneys filter it. I think that's really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if you're like stuck somewhere where there's no fresh water, at least the cat can drink salt water and be okay.
Yeah.
Get hydrated. Cats meow only to humans, not to other cats. You know, and I've heard that so many times, but I think that I've seen cats meow to each other.
Oh, come on, Wendy.
I think I am.
Hey, if you're listening to this show, you're part of the resistance. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote, and adopt, Wendy.
I know. Adopt, don't shop, please.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll see everybody tomorrow. Ho-wa.
Support for KFAI comes from the Dakota, presenting the Emmanuel Wilkins Quartet, Tuesday, March 10th. Composer and alto saxophonist Emmanuel Wilkins leads his quartet to the Dakota stage with his latest release, Blues Blood, a powerful album incorporating electronics and vocals to accentuate the message and meaning of the music. Emmanuel Wilkins continues pushing the boundaries of contemporary jazz by adding elements of gospel and R&B to his vision of music as an alchemical concoction. More information about the Emmanuel Wilkins Quartet at the Dakota is available at dakotacooks.com.
Hi, it's Dr. Evan Adams, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Victor, you better be listening.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations throughout Turtle Island. Say no to the hunts.
Oh! Oh! Oh.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and this is Native Roots Radio. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many, many, many years, probably her whole life, and she's like a co-founder of Native Roots Radio. We've been on almost 10 years. We're in our 10th year, and so I learned so much from Wendy's segment. Welcome, as always, Wendy.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Dagger Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga. I'm a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. So today, I wanted to talk about why we should be worrying or caring about animals right now while the world is burning up.
Oh, God.
So, like, literally, like, people are like, what are you worrying about animals for? You know, we have all this other stuff going on.
And World War III.
Yeah. Exactly. And it really weighs heavy on my mind. But I feel like there's like a fundamental kind of compassion that, you know, if you care for animals, you'll care for people. So I really feel like it's really important. So, you know, and it, often how a society treats animals often mirrors how it treats vulnerable people also, you know. And compassion isn't a limited resource. Caring about animals can strengthen empathy overall. So we really just need to, like, really, I don't know, keep caring about things that you're caring about. You know, don't put your passions and your things that you care about on the back burner right now, mm-hmm. because we really need to keep doing that as well.
Yes,
even though the world is burning, you know.
Good call.
And, you know, I just, like, looked up a few things, and I wanted to get other perspectives and what people are saying about it. And, you know, some people are like, animals are part of the system that keep us alive. So some people, like, wildlife and ecosystems affect clean water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pollination, forests, soil, and climate stability. So protecting animals isn't just sentimental. It helps protect the natural systems that humans rely on. And I really wanted to take a look and really talk about our wolf population.
Mm.
You know, I just feel like they're so vulnerable right now. And Humane Lobby Day is, I believe, March 17th. I'm sorry. I will be at the Minnesota State Capitol lobbying my representatives for a couple of bills that we're working on right now that we want to pass, right? So even though there's, you know, a crap show in the world right now, I will be at the Minnesota State Capitol talking about why it's important to take care of, and wolves is one of them, right? We mm-hmm. do not want an indiscriminate wolf trophy hunt here in Minnesota. You know, we really want to care about them, and it's important to care about our wolves. Wolves are considered a keystone species, meaning their presence has a disproportionately large effect on the ecosystem. In northern forests like Minnesota's, wolves keep regulate deer populations, right? So the deer aren't over eating all the land and stomping on everything. So they're keeping the deer population in balance. And what happens when wolves are present? I really want to talk about that. I think that's so important. When wolves keep deer numbers balanced, young trees survive, especially aspen, birch, and cedar. Forest regeneration improves. Songbird habitat increases. Beavers return because willow and aspen grow along the streams. Wetlands improve, which help fish, amphibians, and waterfowl.
Mm.
And what happens when wolves disappear? We saw this, and I talked about this story in Yellowstone, and yeah. I'll talk about that again. But what when happens when wolves disappear. Without predators, the deer population explodes. We already talked about that. They over-browse young trees and shrubs. So they eat everything in sight, and then there's nothing. Forest diversity drops. Fewer birds, insects, and small mammals survive. So biologists sometimes call this the trophic cascade, and I've talked about this on the show before.
Yeah.
When one species at the top affects the entire ecosystem below it. And here is an example. Yellowstone National Park is a famous example of this. After the wolves were reintroduced to Yellowstone in 1995, vegetation rebounded. Beaver colonies increased. Songbirds returned.
Mm-hmm.
Riverbanks stabilized because of the roots of the trees, and the trees were able to grow. It showed how one predator can reshape an entire landscape. And if you ever, if you ever want to listen to someone with a really good voice, much better than mine. There's this British guy, and it's, you can go on YouTube and find it. It's called How Wolves Change Rivers.
Yeah.
How Wolves Change Rivers. And he talks about this whole thing in this beautiful British accent. And you could really hear it. It's beautiful, really. I mean, you know, the deer were out and about and just ate all the vegetation, and there was nothing there. And it only took a few, you know, a few years. So I think, and there was a very small amount of wolves. I think it was either 6 or 9 wolves that they reintroduced to Yellowstone. In a matter of no time, the whole place, it became like a Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
But it played, go ahead, Robert.
No, I said something. I was agreeing with you. I remember that story.
Yeah. In a place like Minnesota, which still has one of the healthiest wolf populations in the lower 48 states, many ecologists see wolves as a sign of a functioning northern forest ecosystem. So it's really important for us to keep them. You know, a lot of people up north, though,
right?
You know, I don't get it. You know, there's so many, you know, ranchers worry about the wolves coming and eating their cattle and their lambs and their sheep and their, you know, whatever. But there's so many other ways to deter the wolves and not have to kill them.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Once you kill a pack of wolves, once you kill like the alpha male or alpha female, that's it. It breaks up the wolf pack, and they go their separate ways. And that's when they get in trouble. That's when they're hunting. They're not hunting an elk. They're not hunting a deer. They're going after a smaller calf, right? Or a baby lamb, or, you know, and then the ranchers come out and say, see, that wolf killed my calf. And it's really, it's really something. But the ranchers do have a lot of clout, you know. They're lobbyists, so they have a lot of money, and they have a lot of pull when it comes to this. So I really want us to be able to take care of our wolf population. If you care about wolves and you live in Minnesota or you live elsewhere, and you have a wolf population, give your legislators a call and just say, listen, you don't have to be an expert and know anything really about it, and just say, I really don't want any bills that are passed in the legislature that will kill our wolves. So I think that's important. I'm a constituent, and that's what I want you to do. And if they get enough phone calls, they'll do what you say.
Perfect. And I just want to say this with only 30 seconds left, Wendy. You people, excuse me, that listen to us in Wisconsin, do the same thing, because right now I believe there is a wolf hunt. And so, you know, we'll have to look into that deeper. But preserve our relatives. They're our relatives.
That's right.
You know, thank you again, Wendy, for stopping in and
absolutely,
and speaking your truth and letting us know about wolves. I love the refresher course.
Yeah, and care about things that you care about, even though the world's burning around us.
Yeah, that would be a great show.
It's good for your mental health.
Yeah, it really is. Thanks again. Hey, I see everyone tomorrow. Thanks, Arvina Martin.
We
and this
on
has
an
been
industrial
Native
reservation.
Roots Radio. Pinigi again for listening to Native Roots Radio.
The Halusa Nation. We have been called the Indians. We have been called Native Americans. have been called hostile. We have been called pagan. We have been called militant. We have been called many names. We are the Halusa Nation. We are the human beings. The callers of names cannot see us, but we can see them.
Back in 1976, the United States was 200 years old. It was the bicentennial.
More importantly, it was easy to say.
Well, in 2026, the old USA is 250 years old. It's our semi-quincentennial.
Or bisesquicentennial.
Or sestercentennial.
At KFAI, we're all about celebrating the nation's birthday, but we'd like to find a little easier way to say it.
Like the puntiacentennial.
Or the miniacentennial.
Or the hemi-demi-millenni-centennial.
Just trying to make life easier. KFAI, non-commercial, community-powered, Dr. Seussian Radio.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis,